show. Is it a sandwich? If I called a hot dog a sandwich, do you think that you'd be fine with it? If not, then why? Let's bust this wide. Mary, Carey, Kelly, Matt, oh my, is a sandwich? Well, let's decide.
I am your engineer, Matt, and on order up.
That's all we could afford to pay for, friends. Oh, everyone, welcome to episode 3 of season 7 of Order Up. I'm your friend and your pal, Kelly Zimnikas. And as always, I'm joined by Mary Kennedy, Carrie Haim, and Matt Ardill. Friends, how are we feeling despite the fact, and I've mentioned this every episode so far, we are 3 episodes in. There's 4 people on the host panel. We've had 2 guests, and yet we already have 9 votes.
Breaking the laws of mathematics.
Yeah. We're not a logic podcast, and we can break the rules if we need to, right? So yeah. I think we should go with it.
We definitely can. I did not think that when we posed the question of one or the other, so many people would have said, well, kind of both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was to the point where we almost thought we should have another category, and Kelly's head almost exploded. I mean, like, no, Mary. And then I said, and we need to consult with our accountant, Smith & Smith. And then that made it even worse. Not those aren't really real accountants. But it was fun to watch because, listen, I went to Emerson College, and I don't do math. I mean, I was a theater major. So the fact that we've put it in your trusted hands, I trust you. It makes sense.
We've got our accountants, Smith & Smith, and then our backup accountants, Orville and Redenbacher.
There we go.
But friends, as we always do, we start off the show with some quirky, fun food facts. And what has Matt popped up for us today?
Well, before all creators created the popcorn popper, there were actually plenty of ways to pop popcorn. We can only guess at how the first popcorn ever found was popped over 5,600 years ago in New Mexico. Found in a New Mexican cave called the Bat Cave, which is cool. We also don't know how it was made by the Pueblo people who prepared it over 1,000 years ago. But we do know more modern attempts have included dropping the kernels into hot ash, and then sifting out the popped popcorn.
Safe.
I cook baked potatoes when camping that way too. Yeah. So it works.
True. Yeah. True.
Other people would fill kettles with fat, lard, or butter, and then just drop the kernels into that. And some people even used little wire baskets on a long stick and would hold that over open flame.
So, Matt, I know I think it was last episode where we talked about Little House on the Prairie kind of stuff. Yeah. And I was obsessed with those books as a child. And the one book about Almanzo, the boy who Laura eventually marries, they have popcorn one night. On a Sunday night, they have popcorn. And there is a picture, and I'll have to find the book because I still have the whole series. And it's the wire basket. And the little boy is cooking it over the fire.
Yeah, it just shows if you give a person a kernel, they'll find a way to pop it.
That's a metaphor for life, really.
Yes. Now, one of the reasons why popcorn has become so ubiquitous is the cinema. And in the Great Depression, it was introduced into many cinemas as an inexpensive snack. This helped it grow in popularity. And popcorn actually also helped keep many cinemas afloat. Running at 5 to 10 cents a bag, this was a luxury that many families could actually enjoy and afford. But it also gave an influx of cash to the cinemas, to the point that many of the ones that didn't add popcorn to their concession stands went out of business. Because they would say, oh, no, it's too messy. Well, that's like 4.5 cents of profit that you don't have right there. Interestingly, though, in the 1950s, with the television becoming more of a mainstay in American culture, this actually caused the sales of popcorn to plummet until the late 1950s with the introduction of Jiffy Pop, which hit the market, and people realized, oh, I can be popping at home. So it bounced back.
I love Jiffy Pop to this day.
Jiffy Pop is frightening.
It's classic.
I love it.
First scare.
It's very science fiction-y.
It is.
People in my family almost, it was a bad thing. We had a kind of a horrible accident with some Jiffy Pop.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't awful. I mean, maybe I'm a little bit dramatic, but if you've ever had a hot Jiffy Pop in your eye, I got too close to the stove and my mother kept saying, no, please don't get so close to the stove. And now I know why not to get close to the stove. And I think the flame was too high, actually. I think my mother was a little bit too into the Jiffy Pop. You've got to be very careful. Wow. But I do to this day, I proceed very cautiously.
Wow.
Well, I do believe that was the original lyric to that Dean Martin classic, When the Jiffy Pop Hits Your Eye.
I might have exaggerated a little
bit. Hey, I once sprayed perfume in my eye. I held the thing the wrong direction, and I cry a lot though, so no one really knew.
That sounds horrible.
Strong. I love all that. I also read, Matt, I don't know if you found this in your research, but at one point, some theaters didn't want to sell popcorn because they found it to be too loud.
Yes, too loud and messy. So, they made the wrong call. Sometimes you need a little noise.
All right, friends. Well, we're about to embark on episode 3. Will we end up with 15 votes by the end of this episode? No.
By the end of the season, we have like 173 votes. It's just whatever.
Let's do it. Episode 3 of Order Up.
Hey, Kelly, who's our guest today?
Well, our guest is a Brooklyn-based creative from LA who has a focus on music, food, and community, which I think is why I like this guy. Mm-hmm. I think that's why, because I jam with that too. He's a music producer who has worked on a number of shows, including Broad City. He is one half of the electronic R&B duo Tropic. And just an FYI, after this show, go to his SoundCloud. It is like amazing tunes. I was listening to it all night last night. He goes on great food adventures with Eating with New York. And we met through another food inspired blog tour thing called A Man and His Sandwich. Ben, of course, was on a previous episode. I'm so glad he's here. He's a very cool dude. Please give it up for Jarrell Hill.
Yay!
Hey, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for being here. Just to get things started before I hand you off to Mary, how did you and Ben meet?
So we actually met through my Instagram page, Eating with New York. So every single week I take out a different creative in New York and we go to a different restaurant and then I'll highlight the person in the restaurant. And I think Ben was maybe episode 113.
Wow.
And that's the first time we had met up in real life. We'd kind of been Instagram friends. And that's also when he told me about the tour. And just while we were talking, he said, I think you'd actually be kind of good at this if you ever want to give it a crack.
And you are.
That's how I ended up doing it.
That's so cool.
You're definitely good at it. Because I went on the tour after Ben did our podcast and I signed up for it when I was in New York. And he was like, I won't be able to be there, but you're in good hands with Jarrell. And you took us on such a great tour. Are you going to able to join in on the upcoming Nashville?
Ooh, I will not be there. That's all Ben. Yeah. Are you going to the Nashville tour?
Well, we were just saying we've all got to make a trip now to Nashville. Mary, who will be asking you your questions, is going there soon with her one-woman show. So I think
it's amazing. Congrats. That's awesome.
Yeah. But let me hand you off to Mary, who's going to ask you five most difficult
questions. I'm scared. Okay, let's do it.
It's okay. You're going to be fine. It's not the SAT. You're going to be fine. So the first Barbara Walters question is, what is your least favorite movie theater snack?
Okay, this is why I was scared. I checked with Kelly if I could still come on the show if I say this, but the answer is popcorn.
Oh, a scandal in episode 3.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Episode 3 just got hot. No, okay.
No, so sorry.
So do you partake in it at all?
I actually do not. I stay clear of it. It just doesn't really jive with me. I think from a texture standpoint, mm-hmm. like it's always getting in my teeth. Mm-hmm. The flavor I find to be pretty bland.
Mm-hmm. Is this movie popcorn or all popcorn in the whole world?
Definitely movie popcorn. Okay. I will never buy popcorn, but if someone gets a good brand of popcorn, I'll have a couple bites, but it's not something I'm seeking out. You know?
Right.
Well, that brings me to our next question. We might not be lost. We might not be lost. To share popcorn or not to share popcorn?
I think I love food being shared. I think that's great. You don't need to share your popcorn with me, but you should definitely share your popcorn with everyone that wants it. Everyone that wants to be a part of it.
That's great. Yeah. But I have a feeling you might just have two bites and be done. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Just a few. Just a little.
That's good. Because I don't share my popcorn. So I think you and I could go to the movies.
We could. It'd be more popcorn for all you guys, you know. I'm a great person to have in the rotation.
Taking Jarrell to the movies when he comes to Toronto. There we go.
What's the most unusual snack you've had at a movie theater?
Unusual snack. So there's a movie theater here called Nighthawk Cinema.
Ooh.
And have you guys been?
I have.
Yeah, it's. Yeah. I love it because you can get like a full dinner while you watch the movie theater. So I guess it's not a snack, but I have had a fried chicken sandwich at the movie theaters at Nighthawk Cinema, and that was different, you know, unusual, I would say.
Yeah. They have something like that in Toronto, but it's not good fancy food. It's like it builds itself like good food, but it's like the VIP, so it's more expensive and recliners, and they have waiters who take it to your table. But like have like a pulled pork sandwich and chicken. It's like this could be like a Jack Astor's or something. This isn't good. This is just like TGIF kind of food.
Yeah. At Nighthawk, it's pretty good. It's not like the best, you know, and it is pretty good.
Do they have tables for your chair?
They do. It's like a little, it's kind of like one of those airplane tables that folds over from your seat or something.
Yeah. For us, it would be like at the VIP at the Cineplex Odeon. Like it's just like a tiny little personal table.
I've never done the VIP, but I want to try it.
You've got to. There is no joy. There is no joy like paying $35 for a cocktail.
Yeah, don't bring your kids.
Don't bring your kids. That's apparently the joy of the VIP. You're not allowed to bring kids. It's like 19 and over.
Really? Yeah.
A friend of mine just told me about that because that's why I have a friend. Sorry, off topic, but I have a friend who likes, a big fan of the podcast, our friend Esther, really loves Disney movies. And if there's one she wants to see uninterrupted, she will take herself to a VIP where there's not going to be a million children sort of screaming and yelling, and she can actually watch it. It's a great idea.
Hmm.
Yeah,
it is.
That is cool.
Yeah.
No, that's like great. That. It's good to have mm-hmm. that option.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just the only screaming and yelling people will be the hammered 35-year-olds.
That's a good cocktail. Point. Good point.
To that $35 cocktail.
That's crazy.
Amazing.
When it comes to food and drink, and you know a lot about this, what do movie theaters need to offer that they currently do not?
That's a great question. I think movie theaters are just kind of doing the same thing over and over again as far as the snack and the food and the drink. And I think it could get a lot more creative. Like, I think it would be fun to have, you know, there's in New York, there's a lot of food pop-ups and like one-time food collabs with restaurants and stuff. And I think you could do something really interesting with, you know, maybe a movie pairing with a certain food, or maybe a movie has like a main character that their favorite restaurant is this restaurant, and this restaurant happens to be in New York and they're catering the movie. I don't know. I feel like there's That's a lot cool. of things that could happen that maybe aren't. And yeah, or even just some more interesting snacks. Like we could get some more seasoning or some more spices, maybe, you know, an empanada or a samosa you know, some pan fried dumplings. You know, I think there's a lot of areas to cover as far as snacks, I feel. And I feel like movie theaters have been quite limited, in my opinion.
I like that a lot. I would take an empanada over those nachos, and I use in air quotes, cheese.
Yeah.
I'd have an empanada.
But I think
the cheese from one of those pump machines.
Yeah, that's kind of gross.
I stay away from those too.
Yeah.
Queso?
Yeah. with a question mark, a big question mark.
But I think you're also, not to get too off topic, but I think right now what we're dealing with here in Los Angeles anyway is that the minimum wage just went up to $20. Okay. Mm. So keeping it evergreen, that's how, you know, they wanted to do this. And I think what happens with these food services places, especially in a movie theater, there's no kitchen, really. There's no specific kitchen per se in some of these venues. So, you know, it may seem really easy to make a plate of nachos. I mean, this is my event planner coming in, but if you don't have a kitchen and you don't have the proper food prep, and you don't have, here in LA, and I think they started to do this in LA, we have gratings for food. Mm-hmm. So if you have a full on kitchen, then you're in another level of grading and inspection. So, you know, not to be your legal eagle here for order up, but I'm just saying, I think that's kind of what ends up happening. Whereas these VIP places, you know, Arclight, for instance, which I miss terribly, they were able to do a lot of this stuff because they had the facilities.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. You know, so.
Yeah. But I'm just trying to think. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm thinking of movies that I'd really love to have, like a food pair, like Chef.
The movie just thinking Chef. Yeah, grilled cheese.
Would be, and like, you know, it can end with the beignet at the end is like the dessert kind of thing. So there'd be so.
Night or chocolat.
Mm.
Yep.
They could serve chocolat.
Any movie could really serve chocolat.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
I might be asking too much, but in a dream world, ideal situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, for instance, and I'm aging myself, like Mystic Pizza.
Oh,
that would
love
have been
that movie.
Perfect to do pizza. Yeah. You know, so yeah, I agree. That's our next project, kids.
Okay, add it to the list.
Some homework. Yeah.
So, Jarrell, this is the big question.
Okay.
And then I'm gonna send you over to our consultant Kelly of all things food. But this last sort of our fifth question is butter or no butter on your popcorn?
Ooh, okay. Well, for me, butter doesn't really move the needle for popcorn. And it's just going to make it more sticky.
Thank you.
So I'm going to go no butter.
Carrie is clapping. Carrie is clapping. Awesome.
Well, with that,
okay.
Despite the fact that we're at episode 3, as I've mentioned, we are now tied at 5 votes each.
Whoa.
Yes. Okay.
What are the votes for?
So we've got 5 people who have voted. Well, it's kind of complicated, but basically 5 people have said butter, and now 5 people have said no butter.
Mm-hmm. So we had one guest who said butter at home,
right.
No butter at the cinema. Right. And I am a proponent of layering. Mm-hmm. So like no butter, butter, no butter, butter. No butter, butter. So that way you have a little bit all the way through.
In America, they don't layer because they're mean. So there is no layering in America. So it's been a very interesting. So that's why our math is a little off.
I think either Matt is doing a dance, all listeners at home, or his screen just froze.
I think he froze. Yeah.
You know what? He got too active with his layering. He pulled a muscle.
And he got too excited.
The recording couldn't handle it.
He's still there though. But Kelly,
yeah.
Here. This is the big final question, and we don't do this with every guest. So.
Oh right.
So, Kelly, do you want to? Oh, see, he's out now.
He's out, but Matt, when you're listening back to this, we're just going to just chat about nothing till you pop back in, just in case.
Okay. Let me see if he's putting anything in the chat.
But how many tours have you done with A Man and His Sandwich?
He actually told me, I forget the number, it is around, it should be around 50 or so.
Oh, wow.
Because I've done one pretty much every weekend for a little over a year.
Holy moly.
Should be around 50.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I checked out your website. It's so cool. You
Thank
do
you.
Everything. You're like quite a renaissance man, like everything. And it's a beautifully designed website. It looks really nice.
Thank you. Yeah. My friend... We worked on it a couple weeks ago. My buddy's a graphic designer.
Oh, it's really good. But it's like just, I was looking at your thing going, he does this. Okay, lovely. And then this, what? And then this totally unrelated thing, this. I'm like, who is this man? Like, it's great. So cool to see. Yeah.
You got to stay nimble in these times.
Yeah, for sure. That's true.
Pandemic or AI. There's a lot happening.
Okay, I'm back. My internet went down, so I connected to my phone.
That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing.
I think Rogers just blew up.
Yeah. So we took a little pause.
Yeah. Oh, you're muted, Kelly.
How did that happen? I didn't touch my computer.
I think maybe when I was trying to like get in or something, it might have been me. But yeah. So.
But we were just talking about the Man and His Sandwich tours. I'm curious, Gerald, when you're creating, do you have a snack game when you're making music?
Ooh, that's a good question. So my snacks are like mini lunches or dinners. Like I'll just have and like an amount of this, like the same thing I would eat, but just an amount that wouldn't really complete the lunch or dinner.
Right.
yeah. I don't really snack much and I don't really do dessert that much. I just kind of eat little lunches and then lunch and then little dinners. And
I like it.
So like, I guess like a hobbit.
Yeah, exactly. yeah, I guess like the most snacky thing I would eat would be like a mozzarella stick or something like that. I probably wouldn't make that at home too often. Pretty unhealthy. Mm-hmm.
A mozzarella stick?
Like a deep fried mozzarella stick? Right? Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I was like, oh my gosh. My nutritionist says, have mozzarella stick. It's a great snack. I'm like, no, it just blew me out of the water.
I was only thinking about the deep fried version of it.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
I forgot you cannot deep fry it.
That's no fun.
Kelly, do you want to ask this bonus question that all of us are trying to see what happens.
I do. This is kind of like a second bonus question along with that snack question I just posed. But the theme of our episode being popcorn and how I met you on the sandwich tours, I was wondering, because I'm sure you've had like a variety of sandwiches on that tour that you may have been a fan of or not, but would you eat a popcorn crusted chicken sandwich?
Oh.
Because it's a thing. I found it on the internet.
It's a thing?
Okay. Yeah.
I would definitely try it. I'm not sure if I would like it, but I would definitely try it.
It's something I found on a website called, this sounds dirty, but it's not, but it's bitememore.com. anywho, it's a popcorn crusted chicken sandwich. The chicken is baked in a crunchy popcorn coating, and it is sandwiched with creamy avocado, crisp lettuce, and spicy sauce. And then it's got a pun that I'm mad at them for writing, but one bite and you'll immediately discover how pop-tacular poultry can taste.
Oh boy. You had me until that.
No. Yeah. Just bad copy can ruin everything.
Yeah, yeah. But no, that actually I would eat that. I think one of my main gripes with popcorn is just the flavors feels a little like there's none. So I think already giving it like a chicken element and did you say avocado?
Avocado, something. Yeah.
Yeah, some spice. I'm in. Because the one thing I will say, the one popcorn adjacent snack that I do like is popcorners. But
the only
type I like is the sweet chili.
Oh.
All the other flavors. And spicy queso is okay.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if there was like a sweet chili seasoning on popcorn, that might change it for me.
You could bring some to the movie theater tonight, Hawk, and put it on the popcorn.
That's dedication. Yeah.
That's a lot of work, though.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of work. A lot of planning.
Yeah, it really is.
I don't think I've met anyone that does not like popcorn. So this is really edgy. I think it's great.
Pushing the envelope in season 7.
Yeah, well, quite the contrarian over here. Yeah,
Mary,
I'm sorry.
You have met one other person. You do not know this.
I'm thinking
my mother does not like popcorn.
Oh,
she's such a nice lady.
She doesn't seem like a popcorn hater.
No, she doesn't. She seems like Jarrell's hip and happening. You know, he's a Renaissance man. Your mom, like, you know, is just kind of like family, like, you know, the Irish lived off of popcorn during the potato famine. I'm kidding.
Yeah. But the calls coming from within the house.
Yes, exactly.
they're amongst you. They're amongst you. We're everywhere.
Wow. This is
my mom's hip and happening. She had a pop brownie in the 70s. Well, Jarrell, where can folks find you on all of your socials to either, you know, check out your music, read the blog, go on a tour? Mm-hmm. Where can people find
you? Yeah, I think the best place is I have a personal Instagram account. It's just my name, Jarrell, Jarel.Hill. H-I-L-L. And then also the food page is Eating with New York, all spelled out. And then if you kind of want more of the full picture, it's just my name, JarrellHill.com.
Amazing.
Those are good places to find me. Yeah.
Absolutely, folks. Go check him out. Listen to those tunes and go on a tour if you can. I'm a fan, and I'm so glad you joined us, and thanks for being here, Jarrell.
Thank you guys so much for having me. This was really nice, and yeah, I love this podcast. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thanks, Stu. All right, bye. Hits. Order Up is hosted and produced by Matt Ardill,
Mary Kennedy,
Carrie Hain,
Kelly Zemeckis,
and original music is by Rebecca McDonald.